Glad to have all of you here this morning. Thank you for being a part of our service today. We know that you could have been anywhere, but you chose to be here, and we certainly do appreciate it. We give honor to all of our veterans today and all of our military. We have a young man here today, Reed. We love you, appreciate you so much. I think about him from time to time and say prayers for him. He represents our church, and aren't we proud of him? Let's give a hand today for all of our military, for all that they do and all that they go through. To me, it represents a breed that's what built America. And I thank God for Reed and all the fellow laborers in the field. Every time I hear a jet go over, doesn't bother me a bit. I might have to stop talking because I can't hear right then, but it doesn't bother me a bit because I know that's here for our protection. And I appreciate everything they've done, everything they are doing. Amen. God's a good God to us, and he loves us and takes care of us all. And I want to share with you a word today that he's put on my heart for us. It's in the book of John, if you'll turn there with me. It's in the book of John, and I want to talk about when things don't change. I want to talk about subtitle, Greater Miracle. This is a very, very hard time in this scripture here in the life of the disciples. Following God doesn't always mean everything works out to our good, even though the Bible says it does work out to our good. But during the time we're going through it, we don't see that all the times. But we know that God is awesome God, and he's working a plan. And my heart just really went to this scripture. I've read it a bunch of times, but I want to talk about Thomas a little bit today because a lot of people kind of categorize him as doubting Thomas. But Thomas was having a hard time. Thomas was a real person. He followed God. He was right there with Jesus Christ through all the things that he went through. And then all of a sudden, the events quickly change. Isn't that how life sometimes is? You might have everything planned out, everything's good, everything's worked out. Then all of a sudden, things just come and wipe you off your feet. And so we're going to see a little bit of that here. I don't want to read all of it because it would take some time to do that. But in John chapter 20, I want to just pick a couple of verses there. Look at verse 17. Now, understand what's happening. Jesus has gone to the cross. What a horrible night that must have been to see the Lord and Savior hanging on a cross with his body mangled. Emotionally, you see, one thing I want to say, point number one, is that we are dealing with an emotional battle in this last day. We're dealing with a battle that you're going to hear a lot of stuff. You're going to hear a lot of stuff from the media. You're going to hear a lot of stuff with terrorism. You're going to hear a lot of stuff. And because we're human, it affects all of us. Every one of us deal with the spirit of fear. God said, I didn't give you the spirit of fear, but by him alluding to that fact, there is a spirit of fear in the world today. And that spirit of fear will attack your belief system. Every one of us have a belief system. Every one of us have faith. But I'll guarantee you, everyone in this congregation this morning have been through times in your life when that faith was tested. That faith was tested, and it's tested by things that 9 times out of 10 you would have never thought would have happened. You would have never thought would have come. And you're dealing with things in your life that if you'd sat down and wrote a life plan out, you would have no wise ever put that in that plan. But how many of you know it happens sometimes? And so that's what's going on. Can you imagine all the way back to the River of Jordan when they baptized Jesus and a voice comes out of heaven saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And it just echoes through the world. And all of a sudden this Messiah that they had been looking for all these years is here. And man, think about following him for one day. Jesus, he would just touch the blind and they'd see. He would talk to the crippled and they'd be able to walk again. I mean, he was literally turning the world upside down because God is a God, and you got to get this right here, is touched with how we feel. Aren't you glad of that? He knows exactly right now what you're going through, good or bad, and he feels what you're feeling. So it was just a highlight. And then all of a sudden, Jesus starts calling all these disciples and they start following him. And for a period of time, it was awesome to follow God. There was a few weeks there that he was popular and everybody was praising him and he was the greatest thing that ever happened. And all of a sudden, events began to change. And they began to turn on him. This nation was founded on God. You know what I love about history? You can't take away from it. You can't erase the history books because it happened. This nation was founded on God. It was founded on values. It was founded on principles. Amen? Our grandmothers and our grandfathers had traditions, and they had things in their life that they held to, and nobody in the world would change that. You know what that was? That was values. That's what this world was created in. Sort of like that time when Jesus was here and everything was just up and everything was good and everybody was happy and lives were being brought. I mean, one time Jesus was at a funeral. He was walking and a funeral was coming by, and it touched his heart so much that he interrupted the funeral. Wasn't that awesome? That daughter came up out of that coffin and she was alive again. Can you just imagine living in that day? Sort of like it was when America used to be a nation that loved God, and I want to tell you, America still is a nation that loved God, because everybody don't say there is no God. There's more for us than there is against us. Amen? I'm proud of America. I want to go on record today. I wish all of America could hear. I'm proud of America. I'm proud to be from the South. I'm proud to be an old country boy, redneck, and everything else. And I'm proud to know that God is my God, and he's the God of this universe, and he's the God of America. Amen. Oh, what a time it must have been. But then all of a sudden, things begin to change. Things begin to change. You see, there's a miracle, and I'll talk to it in just a second. There's a miracle. Well, I better read my scripture, because if I don't, I'm not going to get to it. But I'm just wound up this morning. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her. Now, what I was saying is, Jesus was crucified. 3 days he comes out of the tomb, just like he said, but he didn't go right straight to heaven. He stayed here for about 40 days. That's an awesome God. You know why? Because he knew there were some people that were dealing with confusion. He knew there were some Thomases around. He knew there were some people who may not understand. How do you stand when you don't understand? You lean on the one that's greater than we are. Amen? And say, God, I don't have a clue what I'm supposed to do. I don't even know how to pray, Lord. But I need you to help me. How many of you know he'll help you? He'll help you. Somehow he helps you. So Jesus now, the scripture that we're reading now, he's been resurrected. He's walking around on earth. So that lets you know, just a little side note here. Will we know anybody in heaven? Will we know each other? Yeah, you're going to know. That's the joy of heaven, to see grandma and granddaddy and mom and dad and all. That's the joy of it. So here Jesus has been, he's died, he's gone into pits of hell, he stole the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Now he's back, but instead, before he rises, he walks around, starts talking to people. So that's what's going on here. So he says, verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, now he's talking to Mary, and she was right there with him the whole time. Jesus said to her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto you, my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. And verse 18 says, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Let me stop right here. I never saw this till this episode when I was studying. Jesus tells Mary to go tell everybody that he's alive. Well, that's good. And the disciples that are there, they're excited and they start doing that. But there's something I want you to see in here. So, verse 20. Now, go verse 19. Then the same day after evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear. Now understand, the disciples now are in fear. Because at one time they had left everything they had to follow God, just like us. There are times when you put everything you got into believing God and trusting God. And you do everything you know to do is right. And sometimes things just don't turn out. What in the world do you do? Lord, I've given you everything. And I don't understand why all this is coming against me. I don't understand why all this is going on. Well, I've been there, haven't you? And you just get so confused because you say, Lord, I thought that if I did this and I did this and I did this, everything was going to work out. And you know what? That's allowed the enemy to tell us that things are not going to work out because they are going to work out because God's not going to leave us. How many of you know He's not going to leave us nor forsake us? I'm building on something here. But they're majorly confused because life is like that. You can believe and study and, you know, separate your life to serve God and to do everything, and it seems like that the ones who are trying to do right are the ones that's going through the most hell. All right? And that's where we are sometimes. And sometimes, well, let's be honest. I'm going to be honest to you. There's sometimes I've gotten aggravated at God, mad at God. I said, Lord, I tell you, you don't do things right. Can you imagine me telling Him, God, you don't do things right? And I can just see Him just shake His head. I could wipe you out with one snuff of my finger, and you're telling me I don't do things right. But you know, He's loving and He's patient. He sits there and hears me because He knows I'm aggravated. He knows I'm flesh. He knows I'm battling with this flesh, and this flesh is rampant in my head. Why is this? Why is that? And you're about to go crazy. And that's sort of what was going on. You got to understand that the atmosphere was just terrible. And disciples, they weren't on the streets like they were before. They weren't just walking around like they were before because they are scared. They're going to lose their life. And so now they're fearful. I don't think anybody's ever served God with any enthusiasm whatsoever has never, as that person has had to deal with fear. Fear, are we doing the right thing? Have you ever had that fear? Get another cup of coffee and let's talk. Have you ever had that fear? Am I doing the right thing? Have you ever had that fear? Have I done all this for nothing? You know, that's how the enemy wants us to think. But I'm going to tell you something about God. Everything you do is noted. If you give a cup of cold water in His name, you forgot about that, but He didn't. God takes care of us. And I want to tell you know why America's strong today? Because there are still people like you and me who are praying and believing in God. And God is still God of America. And America will always be strong as long as God is still God of America. Well, that isn't what the news says. I don't care what the news says. I know what the Word says. Amen. My God don't hunker down and kneel and fall all apart when CNN or something like Fox or whatever comes on. He don't blow him away. Because you know what? He already knows the end from the beginning. Are y'all getting anything out of this? So, everybody's all upset. And you got to get this part right here. So Jesus tells Mary Magdalene, which is a person, a human being. And she, in turn, has to go and tell these disciples, but Thomas still didn't believe it. Let me read on a little bit more so you can get some more out of this. Jesus said in verse 19, Jesus stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you, because He knows they're scared, He knows they're upset. And when he had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. He showed them. The only thing in heaven that's going to be man-made is the nail prints in his hand and his side. And we're going to be able to see that. And then it says, verse 21, then saith Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as Father has sent me, even so I see in you. So he's reminding them that there's something you've got to do. And I want to tell you something, saints of God, I want to tell you something right now. Make that impact. Be that person God wants you to be. You don't have to walk on water. You don't have to float around, because that's not what real life is. We as Christians have problems just like everybody else, but the difference is we got a problem solver that we can go to, and he will help us through. That's what makes the difference. We're not perfect and we're far from it, but there's an anointing on our life, and that anointing is what America is still strong today, is the anointing of God. Amen? Amen. So, Jesus is telling them, now look at verse 24. That's where I've been trying to get to. But Thomas. Look at that little word but there, B-U-T. We've been through a lot of things in our life. This church has been through a lot of things in the last several years, the last several months. What do you do when things don't seem to change, or it just seems to get worse? See, that but there is where we are. I love God so much because he don't leave us out. Because we're not super Christians and we just don't walk around with piles of faith and we just, you know, just doing all kinds. Sometimes we deal with doubt. Sometimes we deal with fear. Sometimes we deal with when we don't know what we're dealing with. Amen? So there's a but there. B-U-T for us. Jesus could have sent it on back to the Father. He could have said, well, Thomas, that's your problem. I was there. I done my best. You didn't believe, so you just handle it. Aren't you glad he's not like that? Everybody thinks that he's serving God. If you make one mistake, he don't love you no more. That's a lie from the pit. Do you not love your children when they make a mistake? My mom always told me, you know, because there was three of us, and you know, every child feels like they've been left out. You didn't love me enough. You love him more than you love me. I know. Has any mom in here ever heard that? I mean, you know what my mom always told me? She always had an answer. You love the one who needs you the most. You know what? I've learned that too. I got two. And you're with the ones who need you the most. You know what? The God that we serve, I don't mean this ugly. He won't toil up about all those other disciples. He won't toil up about Mary Magdalene. They got it. They're good. There was one that didn't have it. And he waited around 40 days to make sure he talked to the one who didn't have it. Is that not a loving God? But, you know, everything is good. Everybody's going, but, you know, everything is, everybody's getting promotions and everybody's getting new jobs and everybody's getting this and that. But in your life, it's a but there. You know, but. I don't understand, God. I'm trying my best to do right. And that heathen next door. Y'all ain't never said that. Y'all going to sit there and act like, oh. That heathen next door. Everything he touches turns to gold. You're out there jumping your car and he's hitting the button starting his up. Amen. Amen. You say, Lord, I don't know. I just don't know. But then God says, but Thomas. And I realized that the God, my Father, loved me enough to hang around and wait on me till I could get myself together. Do you know something? When you mess up, when you're out there and you mess up, everybody's messed up. And let me give a little note here. You'll continue to mess up. He don't just throw his hands away. You ain't holy enough. You're not good enough. I've talked to some people and trying to get them to come to church. And they'll say, you know, I just got to get some stuff together. When I said, no, you got it wrong. You won't ever get it together. You won't ever come to church then. Why you say that? Because you ain't going to get it together. You can't get it together. How many of you know when you got it together, sometimes you ain't got it together? Does that make sense? Amen. The Let me tell you how bad it is sometimes. You go, have you ever been to the end of the house looking for something and don't even know what you're there for? You go in a room, you think, what did I come in here for? Amen. Y'all ever done that? You got it together. He said he ain't never. This is for somebody else. Just share it with somebody else. Amen. You go, and then you feel, you hope and pray nobody sees you. Because you just feel like a butt. Amen. You just feel like a butt. Amen. Butt Thomas. Y'all know, say, we got a preacher. He'll out say anything. Y'all just come. But Thomas. And this is what I love about the Bible. Now, Thomas is messed up right now. Thomas is messed up. Bible said he ain't even with the disciples now. You know what I love about this? Every word in the Bible is important. Remember that. It said, but Thomas, one of the 12. Is that awesome? One of the 12. God anointed this Bible to be inspired. Every word's inspired by God. God wanted that put in there. He wanted us to know that Thomas, even though Thomas felt like his world was coming to an end, he's still one of us. And I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter what you're going through or where you're at. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He loves you. And that's one thing I want to talk about real quick is the miracle of the keeping power of God. In Psalms 91, just write it down, Psalm 91, verse 11. And I want to tell you a good psalm to read sometime. If you want to read a psalm over your family, read Psalm 91. I love that. I speak that every day with my family. That's an awesome psalm. But in verse 11, it says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep you. Is that awesome? God was interested in keeping Thomas. Just because Thomas had a few problems, he was interested in keeping him. You know, we live in a world now that if you got a problem, then people don't want to have nothing to do with you. But you know what I don't understand? It's sort of hypocritical because everybody's got problems. Really what they're saying is, I don't want to deal with it. But let me say this to you. God always has time to deal with you. So, let me finish this up. But Thomas, one of the 12, I love that, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He's not there. Then the other disciples therefore said unto him, well, let me just say this. I feel so strong to say this. Sometimes we're not as close to God as we need to be. That's a phrase that we say. We have a phrase that, well, I'm just not as close to God. I don't feel as close to God as I need to be. Well, you know what? Your salvation has nothing to do with feelings. Because guess what? When you feel like God's a million miles away, he's right there. He don't leave you. Thomas was not with them. Bible says he's not with them. But let me tell you what. Jesus found him. Let me finish this up. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see his hands and the print of his nails, and put my fingers in the print of his nails, and thrust my hand on his side, I will not believe. You want to know why? Because he's heard so much. He has seen so much. His heart is broken. He's disappointed. He's discouraged. And he's just not going to trust people no more. I've been there. I appreciate what you're saying, but it really doesn't mean a lot to me. You know, have you ever been there like that? But you know what God will do during that time? There's an old I think Lanny Wolf Trio, that's an old group. I know at least probably remembers them. Lanny Wolf Trio, they sang a song, he's as close as the mention of his name. I think they were the ones who sang. But you know what? When you're feeling like he's a million miles away, just say Jesus. All right, let's say that you're so low, you're so discouraged, you're so despondent that you can't even talk. I've been there. Just breathe it in your heart. Amen. Just breathe it in your heart. Mamas and daddy, that's why you train up a child in the way of the Lord, and they won't ever depart from it. Doesn't mean they won't always do everything you want them to do, but it means they won't ever forget what you taught them. Amen. And so, this is a beautiful love story right here, really. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Because you know what? I fall in this category. God's grace is sufficient to keep us. God wanted us to know that the miracle is the keeping power of God. The keeping power of God. And Jesus alludes to something right here in the last verse 29. I'm going to close with this verse. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and thou hast believed, but blessed is the one that have not seen and yet believed. Now, why did he say that right there? A lot of people have used that scripture. A lot of people have used that scripture to kind of beat Thomas a little bit. Well, you one has to see everything. That's really not what it's talking about. Jesus knows in a few days he's fixing to go. He won't be seen no more as a person. So we can't see Jesus as far as a person. We see him in people's lives. I've seen him in Jennifer's life as she's been working, getting all these boxes together. Do you know some little hands, some little teeny hands are going to grab hold of these boxes that came from Northview Baptist Church. And next Sunday we're going to pray over the hill. And I believe the God that we serve can go with those boxes. How many of y'all believe that? We already had a testimony, if you were here a few weeks ago, a testimony of a young man who got a little box. And now he's an ambassador for God. He's spreading the word. But I'm so glad that I serve a God that I can't see him all the time. I wish I could. I wish I could. But sometimes you can't see things. So you got to believe. And belief is, to put it real simple, you know your mama loves you. You ever had somebody tell you got a face only mama could love? You ever had anybody tell you that? Only mama could love. But mama's going to love you when nobody else loves you. And Jesus is like that. He's going to love you when nobody else loves you. So I said, why'd you bring that up? I bring that up for this. You know how the faith that you believe, I know she loves me. No doubt. 10,000 people could come up here and say, she don't love you. Don't matter to me. I know she does. God wants you to understand that same principle. He loves you and your mom. Amen. You and your mom and them. All them. He loves all them. And he loves you. And he's never going to forsake you. And there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, sorrow may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. What that really means is, because joy, when you say joy, what does that really mean? It's not talking about expression. It's not talking about feelings, because we know that that can change. Happiness is feelings. But joy is steadfast hope that I know when I call on him and I need him, he's going to be there. We got a message to share with the world. The greater miracle is believing. Even though you can't see everything. Today I want you to stand to your feet, if you will. I have felt the presence of God so strong in our service today. I'd just like you to take the hand of the woman beside of you, if you will, as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you for every soul that has been in this house today. We take hands today, God, as a symbol of communion, as a symbol of togetherness, as a symbol of commitment to one another. Lord, I don't know, but I bet there's somebody in here struggling. Lord, I bet if they're not struggling, they know somebody that is. And I pray, God, that you will take this message and that you will let us all realize, but Thomas, that you love Thomas enough that you left the 99 and you sought that one sheep. And Lord, let us realize today when the enemy's telling us, well, we're not good enough or we hadn't done enough, let us realize today that you love us no matter what. No matter where we're good or whether we're bad, you love us and you care about us. and you're going to bring us through. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, this message today that you gave all of us. Lord, I pray everyone here will be encouraged as they look into their days and they say, well, preacher, I've had a lot of dark days lately. I pray, Lord, they'll realize that joy is going to come in the morning and he's going to bring them through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless every single one of you.